ओम ज्ञानतिमिनन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. Continuing the story of how Nimai Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, introduced Sankirtan in Navadvip and established his Sankirtan movement over the protests of the Javans, namely the Muslims, and also over the protests of caste Brahmanas who were not very happy that their hereditary business of cheating people would be spoiled by Nimai Pandit, who let everybody come together, join together, chant Hare Krishna together, that everyone is the same before God in the sense that everyone is spirit soul. There may be different social positions according to body, but everyone has the right to engage in the service of Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said elsewhere when instructing Sanatan Goswami, Nicha jati nahe Krishna bhajane ajoga, shatkul vipra nahe bhajane joga, je bhaje she varo abhaktihino cha, Krishna bhajane nahe jatkul adi picha. When Sanatan Goswami was protesting to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I'm from very low background, of course he was actually from very exalted background, even socially. He was born in a high class family, Carnatic South Indian Brahmin, living in Bengal, settled in Bengal for some generations. But he considered himself to be low class, as the whole society did at that time, because of his intimate association with Mohammedans, who were accustomed to eat meat and quite possibly in the court, not only eat meat, drink alcohol, which is forbidden for Muslims, but usually in the court at least, all kinds of illicit activities will go on. So due to his intimate association with them, Sanatan Goswami considered him Nicha Jati, Nicha Shangi, Patita Adham, Kubishoi Kupe Pari. He said that Goenu Janam, he said that Nicha Jati, I'm from low caste. Nicha Jati, Nicha Shangi, I associate with very low class people. Patita, I'm fallen, I'm the most fallen. I'm fallen in the pit of materialistic life, and in this way I've been passing my life. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this doesn't matter, because even if you're born in a very high-class family, that's not a qualification for understanding Krishna. And if you're even from a very low-class family, if you worship Krishna, you're glorified and wonderful. So this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving this instruction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a revolutionary. We see here in Navadvip how he brought out his Sankirtan party. Everyone protested. Not only, of course, he had his followers. They weren't protesting. They were joining him very happily. But the Mohammedans were protesting. The high-class Hindus, who were the guides of society, they were also protesting. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only subdued their protest by going to the top in the local area, Chankasi was, we see from this purport, he was a administrative leader. He was also a spiritual leader because he was instructing spiritually Nawab Hussein Shah, who, despite his atrocities, seems to have had some kind of spiritual intelligence, because he also recognized that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personality of Godhead, although in traditional Islam, it's never accepted that, it can never be accepted that God comes in person. They very much abhor the idea, which is current in Hinduism, that a man or God takes a form like that of a man. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was pushing his idea. So many, chant Hare Krishna, you don't have to go through so many different rituals, it's not possible in this age. Chant Hare Krishna, that is sufficient for self-realizing. That is more than sufficient. That is the topmost process, which takes you past all ritualistic ceremonies. And other ideas too, he was pushing. That idea means fact, that anyone from any background can be engage in devotional service. You don't have to wait till your next birth or many births to take birth in a Brahmin family. You can immediately do this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the proper idea. That is, what is the fact? That means what is in Shastra. Can you sit like this? What is in Shastra means which is given by God. That's God's opinion. Just like in the Gita we hear that Krishna says, Matam mama, this is my opinion. Several times in Gita, Krishna says, this is my opinion. So if Krishna says that's my opinion, that's correct. If anyone else says, this is my opinion, that's not correct. Because they're a conditioned soul, full of the four defects. They illusioned, make mistakes, imperfect senses, and the tendency to cheat others. So if anyone else says, this is my, well, in my opinion, you see, people say, well, my opinion, they're very, I think, I believe, you see, and they ask us, well, what do you believe about this? Many times people, when people ask me this, I say, first of all, first thing we should understand is, it doesn't matter what I believe, because I'm a tiny living being, like you, and my ability to understand anything is limited by imperfect senses, tendency to be illusion, to cheat others, and to make mistakes. So it doesn't really matter what we believe. Do you believe in God? Does it matter whether I believe or not? We should find out, is there God or not? Either God is there or He isn't there, and whether you believe, as hard as you believe, it's not, whatever you may think, it doesn't change the fact. The fact is as it is. So we should find out the fact. Therefore, we don't want to discuss with people on the platform of belief. My belief, your belief, it's a flimsy platform. And we try to establish on the basis of mundane morals or what we have perceived with our senses. And we'll refer to some authorities, some, well, so-and-so, some great mental speculator of the material world who's very popular at the present time, he says this. And then some other mental speculator will come along, and that mental speculator will go out of fashion, and then we'll quote some other mental speculator. But this is all useless. The whole history of the material world is different philosophers, so-called, giving different ideas. I'm just reading now Prabhupada speaking about different philosophers of the Western world, and many of them, he just speaks one or two of their ideas, and then he just says, these are all nonsense, because they're all nonsense. And practically, you can't discuss with them, because what can you discuss? They're talking such nonsense. Just if a child comes up and babbles something, you can't, what are you going to discuss? They're talking such nonsense. So in the same, they have no standard of knowledge, just it's all on the I think basis. So this I think, everyone is thinking, I think, I think, I think, and it's millions of varieties of I think we should not surrender to Krishna. That's all. The so-called philosophy, different ideas, it's all different varieties of how not to surrender to Krishna. So expert they are, they don't even know who is Krishna. They definitely don't want to know who is Krishna. Or even worse, in so-called Hinduism, they bring in Krishna and then relegate him to some minor god or just another god, or they say he's immoral, or we're all Krishna, or so many different ideas how to avoid Krishna. Therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching, he came to give what is actually the substance, what is reality. It's powerful. Therefore, people, they opposed. They tried to stop, just like Srila Prabhupada, when he came, the same thing, same message, not changed. Therefore, it was powerful. Prabhupada's godbrothers also came to the Western countries, but they didn't have that spirit of surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore they couldn't be effective. Others also, so many people came, brought translations of Bhagavad Gita, it couldn't be effective. They tried to put their own idea in the marketplace, and it became just another idea. There's so many ideas. This whole modern society especially is a big struggle to control. Everyone is trying to control everyone else's mind. You see the advertisements, all the different Persil and Omo and different washing powders, they're all trying to get your mind, buy me, buy my product, make me rich, don't make him rich. I'm already rich, but I want to be richer. So like this, they're trying to give out different ideas. And also in the educational system, the TV, everything, the whole system is there. The whole idea is being given out, how to enjoy this material world. That's the whole idea. But especially in the modern age, it's become like an open forum. Everyone can put in their 2 cents piece and what you think, you can put in your idea. But basically everyone has the idea how to enjoy this material world. And some of them try to do it in a more so-called civilized way and others in a more gross way. But others, everyone is just out how to be an enjoyer of this material world. Therefore, we are very fortunate we have Prabhupada's books, we have the classes every day, because Prabhupada is also trying to shape our mind, trying to train us up in understanding what is reality, to put our focus in reality. Because due to conditioning by material nature since time immemorial, we have a concept of reality, I am this body. Everything in relation with this body is reality. And whatever culture we're born in, just like if you're born in England, in a middle-class family in the Victorian age, you'll have a certain concept of this is how people should live. And if you're born in England in the modern age, you'll have a different concept. Or America, you'll have a different concept, according to the culture you're brought up in. Just like I happened to walk in a room the other day where there was a TV program from America on debate about whether whether homosexuality should be allowed or not. And there was a Christian couple, young man and wife, who had no idea how to debate anything. And they were creamed by these people. Everyone was cheering the homosexuals. Yeah, this is great. They weren't all homosexuals, but they didn't like the idea that any restriction should be put on you. Therefore, they were supporting the homosexuals. Whatever you want to do, it's okay. Whatever you like. You want to be a homosexual? Great. Wonderful. Enjoy yourself. They're all clapping when they're all clapping the homosexual. You want to be a homosexual, this sexual, any, as Prabhupada said, if you're lusty, any hole will do. So, this is their so-called philosophy. America, the advanced country in the world. And this is their so-called philosophy by their advancement. This is their concept of life. That, yeah, everything's wonderful, everything's great. Everyone should just be allowed to think what they like, do what they like. This is the so-called society, so-called civilization that we're surrounded by. But fortunately, we have Prabhupada's books, which gives the reality that we're not this body. Human life is not meant for sense gratification. Sense gratification will spoil your spiritual advancement. And so many concepts which are foreign to the modern society, just like following authority. This is very much foreign to modern society, which is very much influenced by hippie ideas. Now the hippies are now like the temple, not the temple president, the president of America. He's a hippie. He's an ex-hippie. And probably the next one will be just the hippie generation have grown up. And now they're the journalists and the TV reporters and the teachers. And they're in the, yeah, everything. Hang out. Do what you like. Grow your hair. Chop it off. Do whatever feels good, do it. This is the world. And everyone's rights. Everyone's got their rights. I have a right to do whatever I like, think whatever I like. But this is opposite to the Vedic conception where society is strictly controlled. You don't have a right. If you step outside the Varnashram principles, you're punished. You don't have a right to think whatever you like because you're a nonsense fool. That's why you're in the material world. Therefore, you should hear from someone who knows. That is the system. Not that everyone has a right to think whatever they like. Therefore, we have these classes in the morning so that we can hear exactly, clearly. This is the truth. We're not these bodies. We're eternal spirit souls. We are eternal servants of the Supreme Spirit Soul, who is always supreme. We can never be equal to him. His name is Krishna, and he happens to be a cowherd boy. And that is reality. This is accepted by all authorities and in all scriptures. This is correct. They're not changing their knowledge every 3 weeks according to which angle they look through the telescope. But this is factual knowledge accepted by all those who have actually demonstrated in their lives that there's spiritual advancement. It's supported by a vast body of knowledge. Therefore, an intelligent person simply accepts it. And if he doesn't understand, he doesn't try to speculate with his own stupid brain, but he simply hears from one who knows, and that is the system of receiving knowledge. And this way you become spiritually advanced. So this is our method of receiving knowledge. A whole culture, Vaishnav culture, Prabhupada said that understanding means standing under, not standing equally. Just like, oh, Hari Bol Gurudev, how are you doing? Not like that. You have to bow down. Tadviti pranipatena, first thing. You have to bow down. It's not that everyone's equal. No, we have children's rights, women's rights, and minority rights, and then the next thing will be disciple rights. Why should the disciple bow down? He's just as good as the guru. Just the same. He's probably better. And then we're going to bring in all these ideas in. We're going to end up with some nonsense like that. I've heard actually someone was saying that. You know, my guru is pretty far out somewhere. He is saying such a thing. That means he's useless, fallen, rejected. He has no position. Because he has to stand under. You can't understand unless you stand under. Take the humble position. But this whole modern society, so-called civilization, is based on the idea, yeah, everyone's ego. Everyone should have their right. Everyone should puff themselves up. Everyone should be very proud and have their own opinion, give their own opinion. And we're influenced by this because this is our material condition. We're brought up in such a society where everyone, actually they say everyone has their own way of thinking, but they don't. You see, pretty much people dress in the same way. They do the same things. They think in the same kind of way. They may think that they're thinking independently, but they're not. Who's thinking independently? There's only certain patterns. It's basically the same old thing, sense gratification, but just in slightly different varieties, that's all. So people may think I'm independent, I'm standing on my own, but they're not. Either you follow the authority of what you see on the TV, or what whoever you accept as your leader, maybe some Malcolm X, or it may be Madonna, or whatever it may be, what your hero is, hero or heroine. And I'll have to change the English language now, because they don't, it's all, they want to make God, they want to make everything neuter, no he or she, so all these words, hero, heroine, cow, bull, they have to change them all just to make one. You know how they make this, he or everything, he or she? So then they have to, hero, heroine. So whoever you're following, you have to follow, so everyone's following someone else. And even the so-called fashion leaders or the leaders of philosophical thought, they're all influenced by someone else. There's a whole build-up, just like the build-up of thought, just like Freud was influenced by Darwin, because Darwin had the idea that primitive man descended from monkeys. So Freud, believing this, because he was a fool, he said that the idea of belief in God must have come, because previously men were living in savage groups, and there was one, in each group there was a predominant leader who dominated all the women and had children by them, so that all his sons, they feared him and envied him. And therefore we have, since we evolved from such primitive men, therefore we have in our mind a feeling of a great father who we fear and we envy, and that is God. This is Freud's wonderful theory. So everyone is influenced by someone else, and anyway, everyone's influenced by the illusory energy called Maya, by which we think we are these bodies and we should enjoy material life. Therefore, coming to Krishna consciousness means to get ourselves re-influenced, brainwashed, as it's called. This is a word they accuse us of, brainwashing. So when Prabhupada was heard of this, he said, yes, your brain needs washing, it's full of stool. Then he said, actually, we're not brainwashing, we're brain giving, you have no brain. All nonsense. It means there's no sense in it whatsoever, because you can't enjoy this body. And even if you think you'll enjoy this body, your body, which is anyway just a bag of bones and stool, will gradually become a wrinkled up bag of bones and stool, which you can't enjoy, and no one else will want to enjoy with you. Then you have to leave that body to get another body. So you can't enjoy it anyway. So it's all nonsense. Therefore, to become sensible means to give up the nonsense idea of enjoying this body, and understand that I'm spirit soul, eternal servant of Krishna, and serve Krishna. And then we become self-realized. But because we are attached to these stupid bodies since time immemorial, one body after another, therefore we have to hear regularly what is the proper concept of life. What is reality? Reality is not that I am this body. Reality is that I am not this body. So with this we have to hear again and again, because not only in our own mind, but internally and externally, so much propaganda is coming. You are this body. Buy this kind of fashion. Buy Levi's jeans, and then you'll look like a real man or woman or some entity without any gender. So this, all the propaganda, enjoy this body, and the people we see, they're all dressed up. They're giving out a big message. I am this body, come and enjoy. See if you can seduce me. I'm dressed up, ready to go. So this, all around, we're surrounded by wrong ideas. Therefore, we have to get the right idea. Hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. Hear from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Hear Chaitanya Charitamrita, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was also making propaganda. He was trying to influence people's minds in the right way. So this also, in our ISKCON, we are influenced in the right way by hearing from Srila Prabhupada. Of course, there are many people who want to introduce so many different ideas. It's like a struggle going on. Who can give all different ideas into ISKCON? And so many different things are being introduced, that you should read this and you should read that. And this is a really wonderful idea which this Kami has dreamed up, and We should introduce it, and this will really make us Krishna conscious if we introduce this idea. And it may seem like that. By the power of the illusory energy, sometimes it seems that some wonderful management scheme or some wonderful sociological idea, this is really the solution to all of ISKCON's problems. We should simply follow so-and-so, who is a very influential person in the material world, and he's done wonderful work with IBM and the President of America, so he must be good. And what he's saying sounds very good. So let's follow him, and that'll solve all the problem. The real problem in ISKCON is because we didn't get any really good management consultant. This is our real problem. We didn't go to the right psychologist. But the problem is with all these people that even though they may have some ideas which seem good, basically they're all materialists, which means they're fools and rascals. That Prabhupada said that it's very easy to understand who is a gentleman and who is a rascal. You see who is Krishna conscious and who isn't. So if you hear from someone, they may have, all right, this sounds very good, but then you'll see they have some totally bogus, off-the-wall idea. Naturally, they must have, because they're not trained in Krishna consciousness. So if we want to take training from people who are not trained in Krishna consciousness, and we have faith in their ideas, then we're going to get influenced by their ideas. Just like I was seeing a book written by some great New Age guru who's supposed to have all the problems to all the solutions to all the problems in the world. So he was giving his description of what he thinks is an ideal person. So one of the things in there, he doesn't become anyone's disciple. And this our devotees are reading. This is supposed to be the great self-realized person. I'm speaking facetiously. He's not self-realized at all. So they read this and they're, well, his ideas are very good. Well, don't become anyone's disciple. It's total antithesis of what is the proper method to make advancement in life, which is to become a disciple of a self. He's saying that his idea of a great person, he doesn't become anyone's disciple, but he's writing books and instructing people, he's become their guru. Just as so many people that say, don't read books, don't accept any guru, and they're instructing and they're becoming guru. And another of his wonderful ideas is the great person of the 21st century, the leaders of the future. They'll be reading all different kinds of good magazines which will keep them informed of all world affairs. I've seen this before in ISKCON in the 1980s. Even in one temple, you can't believe this. They used to give a weekly class on Newsweek, Time, and what's the news? Because they had the idea that all the devotees should be informed of all the news that's going on. But if you read these magazines, they're not just giving news, they're giving a whole idea of how life should be lived. That they'll present the news in such a way that this guy is bad because he's against America, and all the markets should be opened up, and people should be the same thing. People should be free to think as they like. And the whole concept is very subtly there, but it affects the consciousness. If we associate sangat sanjayate kamaha, that whatever we associate with, that influences our desires. Therefore, our whole process of Krishna consciousness is to associate with Shabda Brahma, spiritual sound coming from self-realized persons. That spiritual sound vibration from Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, from Srila Prabhupada's books, that will purify us. And as far as management techniques, well, no doubt ISKCON's a big organization and we have to organize it this way and that, but the basic technique which we saw Srila Prabhupada give was that everyone should be Krishna conscious. And if that is done, if that atmosphere is created in which everyone is enthusiastic for preaching, which is the life, just like we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching, then even if the management is lousy, the movement will go on very, even if the manager is not materially a very good manager, everyone will be happy and the movement will go on very nicely. And even if we have fantastically wonderful management systems dreamed up by some wonderful kami who's got some brilliant ideas, but if we're all just put in some slot and some kind of, this is, you should relate with this, now what does he say? You know, instead of Shastra Chakshus, it's Kami Chakshus. Now what does he say? What should we do in this situation? You're thinking, you're taking advice from management means he's giving you the idea of how you should live your life fully. So if you're thinking of what he says, and we're trying to just organize, we could put so much stress on organization and not on preaching, then we may be superficially well organized, but the temple will be dead. It'll just be like statues. There'll be no life. Preaching is the life. Preaching is the essence. So these things should be understood very clearly. What is our essence? We should never forget our, not only not forget it, but these things have to be pushed very strongly. That we have to hear from the self-realized person. That means we have to hear from Srila Prabhupada and whoever is following very strictly in Srila Prabhupada. And following very strictly in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. Understanding that Prabhupada has given us everything, all we need to become spiritually perfect. We don't need to import anything from anybody else. Like I was saying, there's different people giving different ideas. There's different people giving different, supposed to be spiritual ideas also. That, well, Prabhupada didn't teach you everything, which is bogus. As soon as anyone says that, you know immediately he's bogus. If he says the Prabhupada didn't give you everything, now you have to come to me. And followers of such people, they'll quote Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jiva Goswami. Factually, I've seen, unless someone's thoroughly read Prabhupada's book several times, if you just quote Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Jiva Goswami, you can't understand what they're saying. Prabhupada himself said that. You should read the books of the Acharyas, but you can't understand them unless you understand through Prabhupada. And factually, I see that. That Prabhupada, just like they'll quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur some quote, which is not at all relevant to them, because he's speaking, he's giving some quotation for those who are already on a very high level of devotional service. So in this way, they'll try to circumvent Prabhupada, in which he's always push surrender, 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 surrender to Krishna. And they'll try to, without surrendering to Krishna, try to go up to some very high level. It's not possible. That is called sahajya. Sahajya means one who takes things very easily or cheaply. Instant bliss, just like you have instant coffee, instant tea, instant fish fingers, you take it out of the freezer and fry it. So now you want instant bliss, instant praying. No, never mind all this surrendering, hard work, following four regulated principles. Immediately I'll read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books and Jiva Goswami's books and I'll go up to the highest level. It doesn't work. You may think, you may be in a big illusion that you're so much advanced because you read some books about intimate pastimes, but that you can't understand these things by reading books alone. You have to go through the parampara system. You have to surrender this word, which is very unpalatable to those who would not want to surrender. This most unpalatable word, surrender. No, I just love Krishna. I won't surrender to him. There's no such thing. It's bogus. You have to surrender. Surrender is the first part of love because he is the master and we are the servants. That we can't artificially become equal with him. We are subordinate to him eternally. Therefore, sadhana bhakti, the process of Krishna consciousness, teaches us to surrender. Then, when there is full surrender, then the question comes. Not even question comes of higher levels. That is automatically revealed. So all these things should be understood very clearly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought Sankirtan. Many people didn't like it. Many people protested. Many people gave different ideas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement prevailed. It will always prevail. Those who don't want to be part of it, they'll remain in the material world. Those who have some new idea, which is better than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's or better than Prabhupada's so-called, is not possible. They'll also remain in the material world, even in the, they're talking Prabhupada, Prabhupada, but they're not following, therefore they'll remain in the material world. And those who are chanting Hare Krishna under the direction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his bona fide representatives, they'll go back to Godhead, and our acharyas will come. They will deliver others back to Godhead. The actual path will always remain open. And those who want it, they can follow. It's very simple. Krishna consciousness is very simple for the simple. And for those who want to have some new, complex, different, wonderful idea, they can have their new, wonderful, different, complex ideas. But they won't have Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is as it is. Very simple. It's so simple. Even Prabhupada one time said, the Krishna consciousness is so simple, you'll miss it. Just like they say, you can't see the wood for the trees. You're discussing this detail, that detail, that detail. But what about our basic things? Rising early, chanting 16 rounds, following four regulated principles, accepting Prabhupada's instructions exactly as they are. Without that, we may have so many different wonderful ideas. We may import so many different wonderful ideas. This is what happens, you see. They read so many karmi books about psychology and this and that, and then they come up with wonderful ideas like devotees shouldn't shave their head. Prabhupada wanted, where did this come from, this shaving head? No, it's better for preaching, not to shave your head. It's good. Of course, there may be some circumstances, just like if you're BI preaching. But generally, our devotees, we always shave our head, for instance. Wearing devotee clothes, all that very basic principle. They may have some new idea. It's better for preaching, don't preach too strongly. Don't tell them this, don't tell them that, don't tell them anything, just make friends with them. And then you just make friends with them on a superficial platform. You remain superficial, they remain superficial. No one benefits, you don't benefit, they don't benefit. No one becomes Krishna conscious. And it's all useless. Therefore, better just to follow Prabhupada in the very simple way he said. Now if you say these kind of things, you'll say, well, you're stuck in the past and you have to get up to date. And you're stuck in the 1970s. Well, great. 1970s was when Prabhupada was here teaching us. If we stick to that, as Prabhupada said, if you simply follow what I've told you, then you'll go back to Godhead. So that's very good. And we bring in 1990s New Age gurus, then I don't know where we'll go. Yanti Deva Vrata Deva. And if you worship the Devas, you go to the Devas. And Madhyajana Opi Yanti Man. If we worship Krishna, we go to Krishna. And if we worship some New Age gurus, who knows where they're going and where we'll go. So better to stick to this process. Guru More Murkadeki Korilo Shasham, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went before his guru and his guru chastised him that you're a fool, you don't know anything, just do what I say. So this is our process. Acharya Upasana. We worship the Acharyas. We accept as our Acharya the self-realized person, not the non-self-realized person, who may have so many wonderful ideas. But basically he's a materialist and he wants to see everyone else be a materialist. That's the whole materialistic scheme. Everyone is simply trying to make everyone a materialist. And they're also trying to make devotees into materialists. They would also, our movement can be very well accepted if we simply become totally materialistic, that's all. If we become simply compromised, then everyone will like our movement. If we're not preaching to surrender to Krishna, if we're not preaching that anything except surrender to Krishna is nonsense, if we just compromise, yes, yes, you have your religion, I have my religion, it's all the same, and you can do what you like in Krishna consciousness, yes, we also let our children watch TV because they should have free choice, children's rights. And then if you just compromise, then everyone will be very happy and the materialists won't have any complaints against this movement. They're always bitching at each other, but they won't have any serious complaint. We'll become another mundane religious society and no one will go back to Godhead. Fortunately, that won't happen because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has his plan to deliver the whole universe through this Krishna conscious movement. But you have to stay on the boat. Don't jump into another boat. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, false gurus, they have been compared to taking shelter of false gurus has been compared to jumping into a stone boat. What happens to it? If you make a boat out of stone, what will happen? It'll sink. And you'll go bloop, 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 bloop. You'll bloop. You'll go underwater. So better stay on the right boat. Hare Krishna. Any question? Comment? Protest? Shunya. When the ya, this is Bengali pronunciation now. When it comes, actually there's two kinds of yas. In our English writing it's written, one has a dot underneath it and the other doesn't. So you can distinguish if you read in the original Bengali. Generally, if it's in between two vowels, it will be pronounced as a y, like that. And there's another way of pronouncing it too. There's another, when it comes after, just like nitya, in Sanskrit, nitya becomes in Bengali, nitto. The y becomes almost silent. Why? I don't know. It's Bengali language.
Do you think that this comes over there?
Do I think? Well, that's the question. Different people have different. They say, well, Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. Anyway, go on.
This comes relationship with various other practical events. would remain as it has been in the past. And so there's some who say that in the future, you know, decades or things will suffer.
Yeah, Prabhupada, just before he passed away, said that he wanted to unite, bring all the Saraswat family together. Most of the time when he was in our presence, he strongly warned us against the Gaudiya Math and told us of some of their history, how they were fighting amongst each other, how they were envious of him, not only told, but we saw ourselves, how they were very envious of him. So definitely, we don't want to fight with anyone, but if the same reasons are there for which Prabhupada was upset, then unless there's a removal of that attitude, then how can we be friends with them? Just like once Prabhupada visited Lalita Prasad Thakur, who was the brother of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada was going to renovate his temple, which was the birthplace of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and publish writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which they had stored there. But then he heard that after that meeting, Prabhupada's disciples had gone there again, and Lalita Prasad had been doing his usual business of criticizing Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada said, just forget the whole thing. So in the same way, traditionally, the Gaudiya Math leaders, they have been, not all of them, actually pretty much all of them. Prabhupada wrote in a letter to one of his godbrothers. He said, I think you're the only godbrother of mine who is not envious of me. And other time Prabhupada said, they all want to advertise that Bhaktivedanta Swami is subordinate to them. That actually we are his superiors, we know more, and he just went as an emissary on our behalf to the West. I just read a book, I didn't read a book, I just opened a book, published by one group, in which they openly wrote that Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, the person who was writing it, can't call him Prabhupada, because they all have the idea that to call him Prabhupada is wrong. They all have the idea, they don't like to call him Prabhupada. Now, the title Prabhupada is given to the topmost acharyas. They don't want to recognize that. Therefore, they always call him Swami Maharaj. So, now, people from, even from the Western countries, who have come to some kind of Krishna consciousness, because of Prabhupada, without which there'd be dogs on the street in human form, they also, as we all were, now they want to say Swami Maharaj. They can't call him Prabhupada. He saved them from being dogs, and they want to insinuate that he can't be called Prabhupada. Is it not offensive? Anyway, wait till I tell you what they wrote. Bhaktivedanta Swami, is now apparent to us that Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj the only purpose for him coming to the Western countries was to bring us to the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, means one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. Is it not nonsense, offensive? The only purpose he came to the West, because in other words, their idea is that you can't actually go to Krishna unless you go to this godbrother of Prabhupada's. Prabhupada himself, it doesn't have the strength to carry you back to Godhead. Therefore, the only reason he came was to bring us to him, which Prabhupada never said such a thing. He never hardly even spoke about him. Prabhupada came to bring us to Krishna. So practically they all have. Actually, you'll find mostly like the junior members of Gaudiya Math who've joined more recently, they're actually very appreciative, genuinely appreciative of Prabhupada, but it's often the leaders who they want to give out some idea that actually I know more than Prabhupada. And they give out the idea he was a good propagandist, but he didn't really know philosophy, he wasn't a great scholar. And these things, actually they make me want to vomit when they're... It's most offensive. So, how can we be friendly? I mean, there are some ideas. When we meet them, Hari Bol, how are you? We may say like that, but I mean, actually, I have a bit of a reputation myself among some of those followers, but I don't say Hari Bol, how are you to them, so they don't like me. I just find it's very, very offensive, and I don't see how we can... What kind of relationship are we going to have?
This last question is maybe mistaken. It's all about how we should avoid being conducting with their religion.
Mm.
But I was thinking, if you become... Yeah, if you become too open to one. But if you become too much of a caste, surely you also become too much of a religion, which you're not a sect. So
No, we don't. We stick exactly to what we have received from our acharyas. That is on the transcendental platform. Now others, like sociologists and scholars of religion, they may see us in any way they like and say whatever they like, but this Krishna conscious movement has nothing to do with any mundane religion. We're not a mundane religion. If we simply stick exactly to what Prabhupada taught us, others may say we're fanatical, they may say whatever they like, but we're spiritually safe. And we'll be spiritually potent also. But if we try to present ourselves as just another mundane religion, then we may become just another mundane religion. Our firm conviction is that everything we have received in Guru Parampara, from Srila Prabhupada and from those who are representing him afterwards, that is 100% correct. And others may have some idea, just like if you're following some religion, you have some idea of belief in God. Alright, that's good. But actually, if you want to come to the full understanding, you have to come to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, I think you asked about the future. Quite fundamental, sometimes in the future, the present group of our leaders who have left their body, and the young ones who are visiting the Sri Lanka, will be.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. We're not intrinsically against anyone. But one thing we'll also see is just like my prediction. I'm not into all these predictions like there'll be a cataclysm and all this kind of thing. There's the world's going to end in 3 days and like Jehovah's Witnesses or something. I'm not into all that stuff. But practically we see that there'll always be someone coming around saying, actually, I know in ISKCON you're all very neophyte because all you do is chant Hare Krishna and sell books, but I've got a higher idea and I'm going to teach you about intimate pastimes. There'll always be someone like that on the periphery of ISKCON, taking people away who are less sincere. There'll always be someone like that. There's going to be so many people fighting for the soul of ISKCON. Let's get these people. Let's take them. There are going to be so many different ideas. It's not that these ideas are just going to vanish away. That's why we constantly have to stick to studying Prabhupada's books, preach on the basis of these books. I remember when I joined this movement, I was reading all this stuff in Prabhupada's books about Mayavad, Sahajya, and I was thinking, well, Mayavad, I can understand why Prabhupada is making so much point about that, because in the West also, that's there. But Sahaji, I couldn't understand why Prabhupada is speaking so much about that. But now it's here. And it will be here. Because wherever Krishna consciousness is preached, there'll be people who want to take it cheaply. I love Krishna, but all this business of following rules and regulations, that's too much. So they find a guru who says, you don't have to follow all the rules and regulations. You just love Krishna, and I'll bless you. And that's all. By my blessings. I'm a super maha advanced devotee. And I'll just give you some of the dust from my feet, and you put it on your head, and you'll instantly get Krishna praying. You don't have to follow all these rules and regulations. That's for less advanced devotees. So there'll always be a cheater to cheat those who want to be cheated. And you may even find them in the majority, because everyone in the material world, everyone wants to be cheated by Maya. How many sincere people are there? Unless we're very strong, then we'll be cheated by Maya. We may find that in future the number of Sahajiyas will increase. It may be.